Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In 2008, General David Petraeus said, "I've always said that Afghanistan would be the tougher fight." Well, this week, that fight became his. Petraeus was chosen to lead the U.S. effort in Afghanistan following President Obama's decision to remove the previous leader, General Stanley McChrystal, over insulting and contemptuous remarks the four-star general and his close aides made about Obama and members of his administration in a Rolling Stone article.
The conduct represented in the recently published article does not meet the standard that should be set by a commanding general. It undermines the civilian control of the military that is at the core of our democratic system. And it erodes the trust that's necessary for our team to work together to achieve our objectives in Afghanistan.
The change in leadership comes at a difficult time in the Afghanistan war. The summer months typically see an escalation in violence, and the U.S. is currently trying to wrest control of the southern city of Kandahar from the Taliban. Add to that a new report released this week from Massachusetts Congressman John Tierney. The report describes how truck convoys that deliver supplies to U.S. troops are forced to pay for and provide their own protection, and how that results in the financing of warlords through U.S. taxpayer dollars. Massachusetts Representative John Tierney joins us from Washington. Congressman Tierney, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much, Meghna. Nice to talk to you.
Before I get to the report, which is an absolute eye-opener, I just want to ask you briefly about your sense or your opinion on President Obama's decision to remove General McChrystal from leadership in the Afghan mission here.
Well, look, I think it was a very difficult position for the president to have been put in. I think he probably made the right call on it, as long as he had a general like General Petraeus able to step in so that there wasn't any loss of momentum in the conflict over there, that our relations with allies weren't interrupted, and that there was continuity. I think that was important. But obviously, our Constitution provides for a civilian commander-in-chief, and in the military, the whole idea of having men, uniformed men and women, have a clear line of command going right up to that point has to be honored. And as unfortunate as it is for all the good service that General McChrystal did, this obviously was a terrible judgment. And I think that the president was forced into a difficult situation.
So by putting General Petraeus in as the new head of the United States mission in Afghanistan, do you see that as providing that continuity that you said? And if so, do you think that it will or maybe won't push back the timetable that the president laid out for removing troops out of Afghanistan beginning in July 2011? Your sense of that?
Well, my sense is General Petraeus definitely provides the continuity and maintains the momentum over there and has all of the relations that General McChrystal had, and General Petraeus had them first and has maintained them and built on them over this period of time. So he's certainly an appropriate person to be put in there, and not sure the decision could have been the same if we didn't have somebody like that to be put in that position to step in. I don't know what this means in terms of General Petraeus taking over and moving on the timeline on that. There's two ways you can look at it. One is that he's there because he's got the credibility to absolutely put that time frame in order and move it along that way. The other would be that as the architect of counterinsurgency, which has some fans and many critics, that maybe he would try to use that position to up the ante, so to speak, and drive this thing a little further on that. So we have to wait and see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm. Well, Congressman Tierney, we're delighted to have you today, not just because of obviously the news coming out of American leadership in Afghanistan, but more so because of this report that you recently released called Warlord Inc., Extortion and Corruption Along the U.S. Supply Chain in Afghanistan. And it found that regarding a $2.1 billion contract that's been put out for getting supplies to U.S. soldiers in some 200 bases around Afghanistan, that some of that money, some of that $2.1 billion is actually getting into the hands of Afghan warlords. Can you describe how that's happening?
Well, it's happening because obviously we have to supply our men and women that are at the forward bases. It would be unconscionable not to make sure that we had that occur. The problem is that the government has sort of outsourced the job, and they have not maintained clear lines of visibility into how that money is being spent and who's getting it and how the job is being done. They have 8 companies doing the trucking, and those companies are then responsible for getting the trucks, getting the drivers, and providing the security to the endpoint on that. And from what our report indicates, the evidence shows that once that contract with the host nation trucking companies, those 8 companies, are in place, the military has sort of turned a blind eye to the rest. Those people, in turn, it appears, don't have much insight into it either. They hire the drivers and the trucks, and then they hire somebody to take care of the security, and they don't go out in the field and check. And as a result of that, the evidence was pretty strong that there are many warlords and other unsavory characters who either pretend to give the security and move along, or are paid off so that they get safe passage through various aspects or parts of the highway that these particular individuals control.
So, Congressman Tierney, just to be sure that I understand the chain here correctly, so this $2.1 billion contract is going out to private contractors who then, you know, are responsible, as you said, for getting those supplies to American forces across Afghanistan. But those private contractors then subcontract out security to protect those convoys, and it's those security subcontracts which may be essentially Afghan warlords.
Either in nature themselves, or they subcontract it out or pay off people. There was evidence of payment of bribes to various members of the Afghan National Police, the Afghan military, setting up checkpoints, extracting their things. Certain local governance, provincial governors or other people in the local governments all taking their portion. Warlords demanding large amounts of money. General Ahula, who was working for Watan Risk Management, one of the companies that provided security for much of the way between Kandahar, between Kabul and the outpost, himself known as a warlord and referred to by people as the butcher on that basis. And then a number of others, all the way to about 44 different sections of the road that people are being paid off in one sort or the other. So in a situation where our strategy has been counterinsurgency, and where one of the main pillars of counterinsurgency is to have a reduction and elimination of corruption so that the local population can trust the government, the Karzai government, and others, we seem to be undermining that by putting in a huge amount of money. Now, not all $2.16 billion goes to the security. Some of it goes to the trucks and the truck drivers and the principal contractors, but a huge portion of it goes to security, and part of that appears to be going into the hands of unsavory people whose behavior goes counter to what our mission is and our goal is in the counterinsurgency operation.
And part of the reason why that security is needed is, of course, because those roads themselves are very, very dangerous. And you had mentioned that sometimes some of the money then through these subcontractors goes in the form of bribes to warring gangs or members of the Taliban themselves so that they will not attack the convoys. So that's how taxpayer money is getting into the hands of the Taliban. You found that?
We found that there was evidence of warlords getting the money. Certainly, Commander Rahula himself has a group of at least 400 militia people that are not at all connected with the government, that had never met anybody in the United States military, didn't feel constrained by any rules. In fact, weren't even aware of the rules and regulations pertaining to security for the transport of these goods. And as I say, he's known as the butcher. The way he commandeers these trucks and brings them through certain areas offends a lot of local people and works against their perception of being supportive of the government. They think it's the government coming, doing all these terrible things on the route down there. He is the one that offered up the fact that he, in fact, pays off local provincial governors and other government officials and police and military people with the Afghans. So, and then reported others, and a lot of the contractors reported that they felt that they were being extorted to pay money for protection. They knew of others who had paid the money. We don't have any direct evidence at all that the money was going to the Taliban. We do have reports of people saying that it was. It certainly would be plausible because it's in line with the way that they conduct themselves over there, but we didn't have any smoking gun on that. But the concern to us was, again, you really want to have a counterinsurgency operation that gets rid of corruption, that doesn't feed into it and fuel it, and you don't want to be building up other militias to contend against the government's own military security and its operations on that. So this is the tip of the iceberg. This is mm-hmm. one contract, but there's evidence, obviously, that there are other types of contracts where the same types of protection money may be being paid.
You've mentioned a couple times a particular person named Mr. Rahula, who you said correctly works for Watan Risk Management, one of these security firms that are being subcontracted. And one trucking company executive apparently who refused to pay Mr. Rahula for security basically said that his trucks were then attacked by Mr. Rahula's own gunfighters. And if I understand correctly from the report as well, Watan Risk Management that Mr. Rahula works for is overseen by Rashid and Rateb Popal, who are cousins of President Hamid Karzai. So it seems like the tentacles of this and the way the money, U.S. taxpayer money, is kind of being spread out over these, you know, as you said, potentially unsavory characters in Afghanistan goes pretty deeply across the country.
It goes very deeply across the country. And obviously, the local population knows who these people and players are. They know what their connections are. And that lends itself to having great distrust instead of faith in the Kabul government and in what's trying to be accomplished there. So when they see all of that money going into the hands of people who seem to be getting favor from the government but who are doing terrible things and not helping them rebuild their economy and their communities, then it just really works against the whole counterinsurgency theory.
Congressman Tierney, let me ask you briefly. I mean, this is, like you said, one of many contracts, but it is a $2.1 billion contract. Some of these companies pay as much as $150,000 a month for this protection, which is what we're looking at today. So it's a lot of money we're talking about. Isn't there a requirement from the Defense Department to have some kind of oversight as to how this money is being doled out?
Well, there is a requirement. Congress has passed a law requiring a contract to be overseen and managed. The problem that we found in the report, obviously, is that the Department of Defense is not enforcing its own rules and regulations. We had people close on the ground in the military chain who wanted to go out and observe to make sure that these checkpoints weren't operating and to make sure that the wrong characters weren't there, but were told by their superiors not to go out because of the dangers involved. And when a lot of these contractors would self-report the problems that they were having, basically the impression they got was that don't rock the boat and, you know, it's getting where it has to get and we don't really have another way to do it. When, in fact, the rules and regulations establish a way to manage it and a way to oversee it, and it just wasn't being enforced.
Congressman Tierney, if Congress already requires the Defense Department to have some kind of oversight over these contracts and it's not happening, what is it that you and the report recommend that we do about situations like this?
Well, what we do, obviously, is we have the congressional hearings. We let them know that we now realize that they're not doing it and that they have to move forward on that. There'll be disciplinary action to people if, after having had the hearings or whatever, they don't move forward. I think that, as I said, they are moving in that direction. That's why we need continual congressional oversight. It's one thing to have rules and regulations, but if Congress doesn't fulfill its job as an overseer, then sometimes things will not get done, and that's why this was so important. With that kind of money, $2.16 billion involved, you know, that's taxpayer money. We've got schools that need to be built. We have jobs that need to be created. We need people to get job training. There are other uses for that money. If it's being wasted or abused, you know, this country is having difficult times now, so we need to make sure that things are done right. We think that there's obviously a more efficient and more cost-effective way to get those materials to our troops that doesn't involve funding warlords and other unsavory characters and actually working against the mission that we've set for ourselves.
And I understand in this case, regarding trucking in particular, one of the specific recommendations you have is that you actually separate the trucking and security contract, so that would make it a little easier for the Defense Department to have oversight over the security side.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't just keep kicking the can down the road and letting people subcontract things all the way so it gets further and further away from the overseers and they don't understand what's going on. So have a contract where they're not subcontractors anymore, they're contractors. They answer directly to the military people, and they have to be knowledgeable about the rules and regulations, and you can observe whether or not they're following them. That falls into another recommendation, which is you have to get on those trucks from time to time, if not constantly, have spot checks and investigations and inspections to see that the right thing is happening on that the right people are involved, and that there aren't any bribery opportunities or checkpoints along the way. And another recommendation, obviously, you have to train people to be managers and overseers, and we have so hollowed out a lot of that type of personnel in many of our government agencies over the last 10 years, in particular in the aid aspects of our agencies, but also in the military management areas on that we need to train a cadre of people who can do this to watch out for our taxpayers' money to make sure that we don't have more of these instances.
How has the Pentagon reacted to what you've found in this report?
Well, actually, at yesterday's hearing, the Pentagon indicated that they are starting to take and implement some of the recommendations that were made in the report. During the 6 months that we were investigating this, there were people in the news media that caught on to the fact that we were doing that and had reported it. And as a result of that and other circumstances, the military had already started to look at the effect of international monies going into Afghanistan and the corrupt effect it may be having, so that they're now intensifying those efforts as well. So our concern, you know, the thing was they reacted reasonably well with the witnesses that were there, and these were people that are in position to make a difference. They say they accepted the report. They say they're going to try to address all of the concerns that were raised, and we went over the recommendations one by one, and they seemed intent on trying to address them and implement them. Our job now, because, you know, we're the ones trying to watch out for the taxpayer dollar here, is to ride them and make sure that that happens, to continue our oversight and to make sure that, you know, in fact, all of those things are done. Next week, we'll have a hearing on the overall issue of subcontractors and contractors and the overall management oversight problems that we've seen from the Inspector General's office reporting on that, the General Accountability Office, and our own previous hearings. Is what might we do about our rules and regulations and systems to tighten them up so that we don't have this problem in any conflict area that we go into.
Massachusetts Congressman John Tierney, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Meghna.
Congressman Tierney's report is called Warlord Inc., the Extortion and Corruption Along the U.S. Supply Chain in Afghanistan. There's a link to it on our website, wbur.org/Boston.